Good morning, everyone. Week number 7, here we are, recording a message again, waiting for things to open up. I'm just thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for all of the faithfulness in giving. We are a very blessed church. I am so thankful for all the people that are part of Gateway Faith Fellowship, and I just pray your blessing on all of you. I've been praying about what to preach, as I always do, and I just felt led of God to bring a message today entitled Hope in God. I've been paying attention to what's going on, how people are responding to what's going on, and I just think that we need to come back to the foundation of hope. So if you turn with me to Psalm 146 this morning, Psalm 146. Beginning to read in verse 1 and reading all 10 verses of this psalm. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien, sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Even through these times, Lord, you have been faithful to your people. We just give you praise and honor and glory. Father, we lift up the world, and more specifically our nation, that Father God, you will protect your people, that you will keep them safe, and that Lord, you will spring forth an awakening, Father God, in people's hearts, that there would be a mighty move of your spirit as we go through this time, Father, that our heart would be softened and hearts that are closed would be opened to the power of your spirit. And so now, Lord, as we look into this message, Father, I just pray for your anointing on me, that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that are ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are indeed living in some very different times than we are used to. We are used to being able to make a list of the things we need and then go to a store expecting they will have what we need. That might not be the case now. We may go to the store to buy disinfectant wipes, cleaning supplies, toilet paper, face masks, paper towels, latex gloves, hand sanitizer, and find none there. We have gone to the store of late and found no chickens because they had been hoarded. Canned vegetables and many other canned goods are being hoarded as well. And now they have announced that the supply chain for our meat is being interrupted because of the processing plants that have closed down because of COVID-19. So guess what? It appears there is going to be a severe meat shortage that could last for a while. Apparently, people are starting to hoard bottled water, too. Many of the stores are putting a 2-case limit on your purchase. Flour, yeast, and other baking supplies are being hoarded now, too. Also, canning supplies are already very scarce as people are looking to can more things at home this year. Also, I saw on the news this week that a doctor in New York City that had been working tirelessly to save COVID patients contracted the virus herself. She recovered from the virus and returned to work only to commit suicide because she had no real hope. This is a very, very sad scenario. Here you have a health worker, a doctor that's giving of themselves, taking care of people, trying to bring people through the sickness without passing away, and she contracts it, she lives through it, and goes back to work to help people, and for whatever reason, apparently lost all her hope and took her life. We must possess a hope that goes way deeper than our circumstances, my friends. We must possess a hope that goes way down into the roots of God in our lives, because otherwise we can lose hope because of our circumstances. That kind of hope is only found in the one true God. When we have hope in the one true God, our hope will carry us through whatever circumstances come into our world and into our lives. First major point I want to look at is verse 1 of our text, which says, praise the Lord, O my soul. Friends, we need to learn how to praise God in all and every situation, no matter how lousy what is coming into our lives seems to be. We always have a reason to praise our God, because the Word of God tells us that while we were yet sinners, Jesus came and died for us. So we always have something to praise God for, because he saved us while we were yet sinners. Verse 2 of our text goes on to say, I will praise the Lord all my life. Our psalmist says, I'll praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. That tells me, if you're going to do that for as long as you live, that means you're going to do it, need to do it through every circumstance. We just talked about, a two-part message, we just talked about murmuring. We talked about, and I had much feedback from people that said, man, I needed that. Well, I did too. I think probably, if we're honest, all of us needed that. Because when we go through hard things, we can have a tendency to want to murmur. But let's take it to the next level. Let's not only not murmur, but let's praise our God in and through every circumstance. And as we do that, our hope in God will be built up, because our focus will be on Him instead of the circumstances that we're in. So secondly, we must be people that possess trust and confidence in the Lord. Trust and confidence. Trust means, no matter what, I know that God's got my back. I know that He's making my path straight before me. I know that His glory is my rear guard. I know that He has everything well in hand. Trust tells us that. And confidence, that's a confidence that we know down deep in our knower that He really is who He says He is. That He truly does have everything well in hand. And as we're talking about this, I want to turn to Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. And it says this, But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Okay, so let's pick this apart a little bit. Again, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man or woman that trusts in the Lord. Why are we blessed? Because when we trust Him, truly trust Him, with all of our being, with our heart, when we trust Him, it brings glory to His name. It's a form of praise when we express our trust in the Lord. You know, we have a tendency to put our trust in all kinds of things. As I look back over my over 60 years of life, I've made the mistake of putting my trust in people that down the road terribly disappointed me. People are always going to fall short. It says in the Word of God that all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Well, you see, our God, the one we are called to trust, the one that we are blessed by when we do trust Him, has never committed sin. He is righteous. So He is not going to fail us. Romans 8:28 says that He works all things for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. Even what we are going through right now, God is bringing us through. As believers, He is bringing us through. I've talked to people that have admitted that they feel so blessed because they actually have more time now to spend with their family. Some of the people are making more time now because we're told to stay at home. So people have made more time. They're having more meals around the table. Children are having more time because they're not going to school. They're having more time with their parents, and their parents' influence is more prevalent in their lives. This is all good things. Now, it wouldn't have happened if this hasn't happened. Now, there are many, many other examples, but you see, if we make up our mind that we're going to trust our God no matter what, because He works all things for the good of those who love Him. Do you love God today? Do you truly love God today? If you truly love God today, then put your trust in Him. He is more than worthy of our trust. People put their trust in presidents. People put their trust in other politicians. People put their trust in all kinds of things. But ultimately, our trust needs to be rooted in our God. It goes on to say, whose confidence is in Him. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. Listen, I relate to this. I was so lost when I got saved that when Christ came into my life and I felt like I had been power washed on the inside when the Holy Spirit came into me, from that day forward, God gave me a measure of faith that has carried me through some pretty tough things in life. Incurable disease, being in a research project, for example. That disease probably would have killed me by now. But guess what? God had another plan. Many other examples we could go into. In light of time, I won't. But my confidence is in Him. This is my point. My trust is in Him, and my confidence is in Him. So I got to level with you. This is strange. This is really weird going through this process we're in right now. But I've got a peace that passes understanding through this process. And I've got a hope that no one or nothing can take away from me. Because I, in almost 40 years of walking with Christ now, have seen Him do so many things in my life. When things looked really bad, God always came in. What's interesting is He is seldom early, but He's never late. It's the kind of God we serve. Why is He seldom early? Because He wants to learn to trust Him. He wants us to learn to trust Him. And He wants us to have that confidence in Him and Him alone. See, one of the other things that we struggle with that's a real battle for most of us, if we're honest, is that we too often put our trust and our confidence, the main focus of it, on ourselves. And we fail miserably many times in life. If we look in our lives and we're honest with ourselves, we fail miserably. But God has never failed. And so our trust and our confidence needs to be in Him. And then also in the fact that He works in us to accomplish His will. And by putting our trust in Him, then He comes into our life in such a way that His Spirit flows in us, and then we become people that are more trustworthy and more confident. Not puffed up and proud, but trustworthy and confident. Goes on to say in Jeremiah that this person, this blessed person who trusts the Lord and has confidence in Him, will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. We'll be like that person. So when there is a drought, when there's not enough, those roots go to that stream. I believe in this example, the reference is to Jesus being that stream. When we are rooted in Him, we will always have what we need. He will meet our needs according to His riches in glory. Not according to what we can do. Not that we're supposed to be lazy. That's not it. We're supposed to do all we need to do to sustain life. And we need to be responsible, not just when times are hard, but all the time. Storing up for the hard times. When things are good, not just blowing everything, but storing up for the hard times. We see examples of that in the Bible. God spoke to me about this stuff coming back in 1992, and my wife and I got on a path of preparation, and that is carrying us through. We imparted that to our children, so they have that mentality. And God is faithful, and He gives us warning. He lets us know through prophetic flow that things are coming, and then we just obey that and do what we can, and we trust God with the rest. Listen, here's what I want to tell you. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, and you trust God with your life, and your confidence is in Him and none other, we are going to go through this successfully. We are going to come out the other side, and we will not be stricken down. We will come out the other side. And not only will we survive, I believe that through the process, we will thrive. There will be very positive things that come out of this. So it will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. Goes on to say, it does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It's always got enough supply because its roots are reaching into the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Now you remember, verse 8 is an example of a tree planted by a stream in reference to the person that is rooted in Christ, that trusts the Lord and has confidence in Him. The example is a tree, but that tree is an example of this person that is a blessed person. For a lot of people, this is a year of drought. There are a lot of people that don't seem to have enough right now. But I dare say, people who are the people that are like the one we see in the example here, that have been faithful to God, that give to the Lord faithfully, that give unto Him what He requires and unto Caesar what is required there, those that operate and flow in the Spirit and practice God's laws of reciprocity that are laid out in the Word, those people, I've been paying attention. Now, I can't see across the whole world and I can't see across the whole country, but I can see in my immediate area, and I look at the people that have been faithful to God in all those ways, in their relationship with Him as well, of course, but they have enough. They have enough. Why? Because our God is faithful to His promises. We can trust in that, and we can take confidence in that. So we've looked at the fact that we need to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, as the psalmist says. Secondly, we see that we must be a people that possess trust and confidence in the Lord and none other. Third, we must not put our trust in mortal men. We must not put our trust, the whole of our trust, in mortal men. Verse 3 of our text says, do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. What's this say to me? What translate today? Well, we don't have princes in our nation, but we clearly have politicians. We have politicians that lead. Do not put the whole of your trust in politicians. Our trust needs to be rooted and grounded in Christ, not in the president, not in the governor, not in anyone, not in mayors. We see all kinds of examples of people coming forth and they got a lot to say, but at the end of the day, they're not saying anything. I get frustrated when I look at the news. But when I look in the Word of God, and when I listen to what the Spirit is speaking to me right in here, those words carry weight, because it's our God in whom we trust. So do not put trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. Bottom line is, the only one that can or has provided salvation for us is Jesus Christ. And that is where our hope needs to be rooted. Goes on to say in verse 4, when their spirit departs, they return to the ground. And on that very day, their plans come to nothing. People have all kinds of plans on this earth. People plan, go on without God and make plans, and some of them even get great wealth. But at the end of their life, when their spirit departs, when their life is required of them, they return to the ground. And on that very day, their plans come to nothing. So for people that don't have hope in the Lord, that only have hope in this world, unfortunately, when everything starts shaking and everything is in an abnormal state, people that are not rooted and grounded in Christ begin to lose hope. So guys, guess what? We not only need to maintain that hope through maintaining an intimate relationship with our God, but we also need to be willing to put ourselves out there and share that hope with the people that are looking for answers. Because before this is all done, I guarantee you there are going to be people wandering the streets bewildered and wondering what in the world is going on. And you and I better be those lights that have the answer to give the account of the reason for the hope that we possess. It's on us, guys. It's why we are alive right now. Those of us who know these answers and are living it in our lives, I guarantee you, when things get harder, and they're going to, there are going to be a lot of people wandering the streets looking for answers. And we had best bring them the answers that we know. It's why God has us here, at least one of the reasons. So don't put your trust in mortal men. Put all your trust in God. Fourth, the person who trusts in the Lord will be blessed. In verse 5 of our text in the Psalm, it says, "Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. Is God your help, or are you depending on everything else? When God miraculously brings something to you that you need through someone else, and you didn't see it coming, please don't look at the person that God used to bring it to you. But I'm thankful for obedient people, don't get me wrong. But we need to give the one the praise and the glory that orchestrates all of it. God's provision can come through many avenues. And we need to make sure who's getting the praise for it. We tell a person, thank you. But we tell our God, we praise you. Goes on to say in verse 6 who this God is. Our psalmist says he's the maker of heaven and earth. That's the God he's talking about. He's reminding us. Here's who I'm talking about. The maker of heaven and earth. The maker of the sea and everything in them. And he goes on to say, the Lord who remains faithful forever. This is who he's talking about. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. This God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. The Lord who remains faithful forever. That's the God, the one who created everything. The one who sustains everything. The one who remains faithful forever. I said earlier in this message, I've seen many people that make a lot of commitments. I've had many people tell me all kinds of things and promise to be loyal and to stand with me no matter what. And you know, as time goes by, many times you look around, they're not there anymore. But you know what? As I said, it's been almost 40 years now I've been walking with Christ. And when I go through times and I look at my life, he's always been there. Never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you, he says. One of his promises. He is always there. He is not like mortal man. We can trust him. Goes on to say in verse 7, he upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. Well, this ought to relate. We're seeing an increase of people who are hungry. We are seeing mass quantities of food being given away, especially in big cities. Truckload after truckload, semi-load after semi-load of food made available to people. Thank God for those that are orchestrating that, and that there is food available for people who do not have money to buy it. Praise God for that. Did you notice who I give praise for it? I'm thankful for the people that are working hard and orchestrating and planning all of this. But praise God who has provided it all and is sustaining these people. It's him. I turn on the news and I see people being recognized all the time for the wonderful things they've done, but I see very little, if any, of praise for God. It's all about mortal man, what this person did, what this group is doing, what this one's doing. And I'm here to tell you, God better start getting the praise for it, because otherwise it's going to dry up, because he will not share his glory with another. He won't. He won't allow it to go on forever. So he upholds the cause. And by the way, if you're reading in a different translation than the one I'm in right now in the NIV, some of the other translations use the word, instead of cause, justice. He upholds the justice of the oppressed. And actually, that's a better translation. So he upholds the justice of the oppressed. In other words, it's like being in a courtroom, and God is the judge, and he upholds the cause, the justice of the oppressed, and gives food to the hungry. Goes on to say, the Lord sets the prisoners free. There are many, many people that are held captive in their sin by Satan in our nation today. Yes, in the world, but I want to narrow this down to our nation, because guys, we need to be praying for our nation, that we get this outpouring of God's Spirit that brings an awakening in people's hearts, because man is not going to get it. Man is not going to get it done. It's the Lord that sets the prisoners free, the captives. Says he gives sight to the blind. There are many people that are spiritually blind. The majority of people in this nation are spiritually blind. And this is why we need to be interceding and praying that God will open the eyes of the blind to the spirit realm and reveal himself to people and bring an awakening in this land and a move of God that turns the hearts of people that are cold back to warm. Back to hot, actually. You don't want to be lukewarm. That's a different message. So the Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. Did you see the exclusivity there? The Lord loves the righteous. You know, people don't preach this anymore, but do you realize when you are outside of Christ that you are an enemy of God? Every person on this earth that is not in Christ is at enmity with God. It says so in the Word of God. We are enemies of God when we are not with Him. Jesus also said, "Those who are not with me are against me." So if we are going to have hope in God, it requires that we submit to Him, that we surrender to Him, that we admit we are sinners, and that means we need a Savior, and He is that Savior. We admit that all do sin and fall short of the glory of God. I try to get through a whole day. I have a hard time getting through one whole day without sinning. It's all about my attitude. I might not run out and do the crazy stuff I used to do, but I can still cop an attitude real quick. I can even get angry at God. Does anybody else have that sometimes? Because things aren't going my way. Or they're not only not going my way, but not going the way I think they should. Because, see, I'm so wise. Wow, we can really get messed up, can't we, guys? So the Lord sets the prisoners free. I want to see that. I want to see a wave of God's Spirit as a result of people coming to the place that they realize they can't get everything they need by their own strength. And we clearly can't get salvation by our own strength. There is salvation in none other, it says in the Word of God. Jesus Christ is our all in all. He's the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. John 14, verse 6. I want to share some prophecy with you from Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. Listen to this. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." That last little bit there, when it mentions the oak of righteousness, the oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. Remember Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 8? We see this whole idea here again. And this was something that came through Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit of God gave him unction, and he spoke and wrote down prophetically. And this was a prophecy of what Jesus Christ would accomplish when he came. All these years before Christ came, penned in the book of Isaiah, in the scroll of Isaiah, it said these things. And then in Luke 4, verses 16 through 19, it says this. "He went to Nazareth," this is speaking of Jesus, "where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.'" Isn't that interesting? Jesus takes, they hand him the scroll, he takes the scroll, he rolls the scroll to Isaiah 61, and he reads what Isaiah had penned under the unction of the Spirit all these years before. And he reads this. And then it says in verse 20, "Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down." It says the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. Fastened on means they were just locked in. They were locked in on him. He had their attention. I bet there wasn't a sound. You probably couldn't hear a pin drop. Nobody's phone was ringing. You could hear no beeps of somebody playing on their phone. Everybody was fastened on him. And then it says this in verse 21, "And he began by saying to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" What he was saying is, this passage prophetically was written about me. I am the fulfillment of this passage, and I'm proclaiming it right here today. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. It said he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. There are many people, as we go through this pandemic, that are oppressed. They've lost their hope. They're not rooted in Christ. And I assert this. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of what was written in Isaiah. Jesus Christ is the hope of hopes. He is our peace. He is our only hope. If we have our hope in anything else, we need to repent for that and get right with Jesus Christ and get him in the front and center of our gaze. These people in the synagogue, their eyes were fastened on him. Let me tell you something. He had their attention. If they were in seats, they were on the edge of their seats. Like we are, we're in a movie when we're freaked out. They were on the edge of their seats. And then he did it. He said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus Christ, my friends, is our all in all. We can truly trust him, and we should. If you have a good, vital relationship with Jesus Christ, and his Spirit is moving in you, just submit to his Spirit. Empty yourself of all of your cares every day. Don't worry about all of these things. I began this message by giving us a lineup of all the things that are happening right now. All the things we go to the stores for right now, and they probably won't have it. The fact that we are probably headed for a meat shortage for however long in this nation. Well, I seem to remember the account in the Bible where the Israelites didn't have meat. Did they? They didn't have meat. So they cried out to God, and he did a miracle. And then they murmured about that because they got sick of the same kind of meat. I can relate to that because we're all kind of the same makeup, aren't we? They also complained because they didn't have the leeks and the melons they wanted at one point. When we praise God, he is glorified. And when he is glorified, he blesses the people that bring glory to him. Put your hope in him. In conclusion, the last two verses of our text, verses 9 and 10, says, "The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord." The Lord watches over the alien, sustains the fatherless and the widow. Isn't that interesting? God looks out for the widow and the fatherless. I see this happening. I see it. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. When we go through these times, the wicked freak out because they have their hope rooted in the wrong places. And so the wicked will freak out in these times. Again, friends, don't be like the wicked. Don't be like that. Humble yourself before God. If you're here, if you're watching this message, and you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you right now to get on your knees before God. Ask for forgiveness of your sin. Name them if you can. Tell the Lord, "I'm broken before you and I'm so sorry for my sin. And I invite you to come into my life and to cleanse me from all of my sin. Be my Lord, be my Savior. And live your life with me. Fill me, your servant, with your Holy Spirit and empower me to live out my life the way you would desire. In Jesus' name." And if you pray a prayer like that, there's nothing magical about that, but if you pray a prayer like that, if you mean it in your heart and you profess it with your mouth, you will be saved according to the Word of God. He frustrates the ways of the wicked. I believe God will use in the seasons that are coming. The frustrated, wicked, that come to the end of themselves, God's going to use that to open them up to the gospel. So be ready to share the gospel with those who will listen. There are going to be people that are looking for answers. So make yourself open to that. Let's pray together. Father, we put our hope in you. And we profess as believers that you are our Lord, you are our Savior, you are our sustainer. You meet all our needs according to your riches and glory. And we place every ounce of our hope in you as our one true God. We praise you and magnify you. I lift up everyone in this church that's watching right now. I lift up every person that's watching. And we just thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.